Now, this morning, in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5. And I trust that you have your Bible with you. We are a Bible-believing church. We believe that the Word of God is inspired, that it is the eternal truth, and our message is based upon the Scripture. Thus saith the Lord. Matthew chapter 5, I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. But first, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, into Thy presence and before Thee we have now come, and we now beseech Thy blessings upon us for this hour of worship. May our hearts and minds be open to Thee and closed to all else. For this is Thy day, and this is Thy house, and this is Thy people, and this is Thy word. And may we with reverence wait upon Thee. And dear God, we pray that some precious soul that is seeking and searching for happiness and peace, for light in a dark world, might find it here in this service today. And may the Lord Jesus Christ be honored in it all. In His name we pray, and for His sake. Amen. In the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5 and verse 1, "And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." My message today is the fourth in a series under the heading Roundup for Jesus. During the month of October, we have been in a time of Roundup revival. On the first Sunday of October, my message was entitled Branded, and we saw how that men are branded for Christ. The second Sunday in October, we spoke from the subject, Broken. We learned how that we are and why that we are broken for Jesus. Last Sunday, we spoke from the message, Believe. And we named several of the things that are most surely believed among us. Now to close the series, The title of my message today is simply, Blessed. Out of these 12 verses that I read you, no less than 9 times is the word blessed mentioned. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Another form of that word, blessed, is what we'll be talking about today. And we shall, by the help of God, see some of the ways in which we as Christians, as children of God, as born again ones, are blessed of God. First of all, we are blessed with a life which can never be destroyed. Thank God for life. Thank God for life eternal. It hasn't always been this way. For there was a time in every person's life, every believer here today, there was a time when you were an unbeliever, when you were lost, when you were unsaved, when you were dead in trespasses and sins. The Apostle Paul words it like this in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened, that is, made alive. And you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sins. I thank God today for eternal life. I do not believe that there is anything in heaven or on earth or underneath the earth that could destroy the life that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Once in Christ forever, nothing from His love my soul shall sever. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though tempests may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, in Jesus, I am safe evermore. Thank God for a life that cannot be destroyed by things past or present or future. For you see, beloved, the truth of the matter is this. God has imparted to us the flame of eternal life, and it can never, but never be extinguished. We have a written guarantee on this. You know, you go to the store, you make a purchase, and the first thing you ask, is it guaranteed? Naturally, the clerk says yes. A lot of times, that doesn't mean anything. Not that the clerk is untruthful, it just happens that way. But beloved, I have a written guarantee in the words of Jesus himself that you and I have a life that can never be destroyed. Here it is, John 5:24. He that heareth my word. Did you get that? He that heareth my word and believeth, not understandeth, not figureth out. He that heareth and believeth. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That doesn't satisfy you? Hear it from John 10:27, the words of Jesus. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never. And our English doesn't do for us what the Greek does. For in the original language, Greek, in which the New Testament was written, 5 times the negative. And they shall never, 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 never perish. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No man is able to pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Paul put it this way in 2 Timothy 1:12. I know, thank God for the knowledge that we have of Christ, I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep all that I've committed unto him against that day. Again, Paul said in Philippians 1:6, he who hath begun a good work in you is able to perform it until the day of Jesus. And then I think in the book of Romans chapter 8 that Paul climbed the summit of all New Testament revelation when he asked the question in Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or nakedness or famine or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things, in nakedness, in famine, in peril, in sword, in war, in poverty, in famine, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Now, the image there that Paul is drawing up, I believe, would be of the Caesars. We are more than Caesars. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are blessed with a life that can never, but never be destroyed. And not only that, we are blessed with a relationship which can never be broken. I am related to God. You are related to God. Paul puts it this way in Galatians 3:26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. John put it this way in his first chapter in verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him. Did you get that, beloved? As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Paul declared in Romans 8, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I think John summed it all up in his first epistle, chapter 3, where he wrote in verse 1, behold, behold what manner of love. What manner of love? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What manner of love? Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he doth appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Our fellowship with God may be ruptured, but our relationship with God can never be broken. We are blessed with a relationship that can never, but never be broken. And then we are blessed with a righteousness which nothing can tarnish. A righteousness that nothing can tarnish. You have something, an heirloom or something tucked away somewhere in your house, it's a silver vessel. look at it once in a while and see it begin to tarnish. You have to get it out and polish it up once in a while. Beloved, I'm talking to you about a righteousness that shall never tarnish. And the total program of this divine human enterprise that you and I are such a vital part of, two things always stand out. Number one, the righteousness of God. And number two, the sinfulness of man. Just as God is just as righteous can be, so man is just as sinful as sin can be. The righteousness of God on the one hand and the sinfulness of man on the other. Isaiah put it this way in his 64th chapter, verse 4. But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We do all fade as a leaf. And our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. At our best we are bad. At our strongest we are weak. But the marvel of His grace is this. God has imparted His righteousness to us. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's the marvel of God's grace. You see, God doesn't alter the robe of righteousness to fit the man. God alters man so that he can fit into the robe of His righteousness. We have a righteousness that nothing can tarnish. We are blessed with a peace. With a peace that can never be disturbed. There is much talk in the peace in the world today about peace. Every time I pick up the paper or listen to the radio or turn on the television, I see something about peace. They talk about peace in Paris, and we manufacture for war all over the world. Beloved, the absence of war is not peace. If the war in Vietnam would end today, that still doesn't guarantee peace. If the struggle in the Middle East were brought to a close today, that does not guarantee peace. The absence of war is not peace. Isaiah 57:21 declares, "There is no peace, saith my God to the wicked." And Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, "And when they cry peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh as travail upon a woman with child." In these days when men are crying peace, and the peace symbol is seen all over the world, this is a pseudo peace, a false peace. There is no peace apart from the Prince of Peace. And only in Christ shall we have peace. He is our peace, said Paul. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our peace. And Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Beloved, if you want peace today, you must have peace in Christ, for He is our peace. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul declares, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, and the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let war come. I have a peace like a river this morning. Let depression come and famine come and conflict and all of these things come, it doesn't disturb the peace in the heart of the Christian. For this is a peace that passeth all understanding and endureth all suffering and heartache and misery and woe. Peace. Beloved, peace fills the life when Christ rules the mind. He will keep your hearts and minds in peace through Jesus Christ. Thank God we are blessed with a peace that can never be disturbed. We are blessed, and I love this, we are blessed with an acceptance which no one can question. Paul writes it like this in Ephesians 1:6. He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. You and I deserve hell this morning. We deserve punishment. We deserve death and destruction. But we don't get our just desert. We get accepted in the Beloved. You know, this morning, you could go outside the confines of this congregation and this community, and you could mention my name, Raymond Barber, and somebody say, "Who's he? I never heard of him." But beloved, I believe this with all of my heart this morning. If somehow you could intrude into the heavens above and you mention my name, even the angels would know who you're talking about. Not because my name is what it is, but because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and all heaven knows who I am this morning. I won't have to introduce myself to anybody in heaven. They won't have to ask, "Who is he?" For in the very presence of the Almighty God, I have a representative, I have a lawyer this morning. He's pleading my case. I look at the Old Testament. I see Aaron, the high priest, dressed in his priestly garments. And on the Day of Atonement, he goes into the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. Nobody but Aaron can go under the penalty of death. Do you know what I read about Aaron? That across his breast is inscribed the name of every tribe in Israel. So that when God looked at the high priest Aaron, he saw every individual Jew, Israelite, in the high priest Aaron. Let me tell you about my high priest. I have not an high priest who is not touched with the feeling of my infirmity, but is there at the right hand of God, passed into the heavens. And on his breast is inscribed the name of every born-again believer. So that when God looks at him, he sees me. He sees you, unworthy and undeserving as we are. We have an acceptance which nobody can question. Isn't that wonderful? My, that's so great. But beloved, we have more. The word now is blessed, and remember, we have all of these blessings and then something more. For we today are blessed with an inheritance that can never fade. Many people today are building and buying and saving only for time. But you know, everything here is temporal, temporary. Paul words it like this in 2 Corinthians 4:18, "For we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal," temporary. "But the things which are not seen are eternal. Mister, your silver will canker. Your gold will rust. Your jewels will melt. And your marble will be ground to dust. But our heavenly treasure will never corrode. It will never rust. It will never diminish. It will never be ground to dust." Peter puts it this way in his first epistle, chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. Get it now. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that never fadeth away, reserved for you in heaven. Reserved in heaven for you. We've got something up there, beloved, that's incorruptible, that fadeth not away, that is undefiled. On Thursday afternoon, I flew to Detroit, Michigan, to speak at the Michigan State Fellowship on Friday. And as the big old airship took off from Love Field, I could see all of Dallas, all the skyscrapers, all the cathedrals, all the auditoriums, all the playing fields, all the homes, the swimming pools, the businesses, the shops. Just see it all, just at a glimpse. And I thought, my, how wealthy these people in Dallas are. Their swimming pools look like lakes. Their skyscrapers look like the Tower of Babel that must reach the heavens. But then I was reminded that one day, all of that brick and mortar and marble and stone and gold and silver will be rubble and rubbish and ruin. But as that old plane went on up and I lost sight of it, I was reminded of something else. We are headed to a city whose streets are gold, and we shall live forever in an inheritance that is undefiled and incorruptible, and fadeth not away. We are blessed with such an inheritance as this. We are blessed with a title that can never be disturbed. We don't bear any big titles on earth, but John tells us that Christ hath made us unto our God to be kings and priests. You didn't know you were looking at a king this morning, did you? When you get home and look in the mirror, if you're a Christian, you're looking at another king and a priest. For we have been made kings and priests unto him, and we shall rule and reign on the earth. Kings and priests unto God. We are blessed with a title that can never, but never be disputed. I have a footnote and then I'm through. We are blessed with an investment in heaven that money cannot buy. In the days that I have been your pastor, I have gone with many of you to yonder's grave. This last week, Mrs. Hoover and her family down in East Texas went to the grave and buried the mother. But what an investment. A little baby last week, a father and grandfather the week before, and on the story goes. But the good book says, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We have an investment in heaven that money cannot buy. Well, I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I'm bound for the promised land. Let's stand for our prayer. Our Father, this morning we thank thee over and over again and again for these wonderful blessings that we have in Christ. We know that we are not worthy, we are not deserving of the least of them. We have nothing, we have nothing, we have nothing to commend us to thy grace. But oh God, we have so much in Christ. And I pray today that the Holy Spirit would speak to the hearts of people in this congregation. Should there be those who do not know the Savior, who have never trusted Him, who have never anchored their faith in Him, who have never opened the door of their heart to come in, who have not this wonderful relationship to Thee through Jesus Christ, may they come this morning. For those, Heavenly Father, who, though they have that relationship, the fellowship has been disturbed and broken, may they come and have that fellowship restored today. For those, Heavenly Father, who need to come and unite with this church, may they step out today by baptism, by letter, on their statement. May they make their way to this altar, to this front, to Christ, to the church, to prayer, to surrender. This moment is our prayer in Jesus' name.